I want to deal with the thought of breakthrough prayer, and I want to deal with it this way. Let's set the table for a woman named Hannah who comes into her place of worship to pray. Why did she come? She came because, one, she was sick and tired of dealing with the taunting of a rival. Two, because according to how we read the text, depending on how you observe it, she views herself as being afflicted. And that affliction is causing her not to have the ability to bear a child. Three, she's praying not only to bear a child, but she is praying specifically about the type of child to have and bargaining with God about said child that has not yet come.
Yes, yes.
Lord, give me a son. Give me that son. I'll give my son back to you.
Come on. Amen. Come on.
That's desperate. Right,
that's
desperate. And so, here she is in the worship space, and the preacher is walking around and sees her, and the only thing he can think about her is that she's some drunk person that has come up in here disrupted because she's praying, but nothing's coming out. Paul writes later, we don't know always what to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes with groans that can't be uttered. Here she is, suffering because she's dealing with self, the environment, her condition, and doesn't know anywhere else to turn but to God Almighty. So what in the world does all that have to do with breakthrough prayer? I'm just setting the scene. A lot of people don't know how to pray with a target in mind. A lot of people pray just stuff. Just pray all out their head. Lord, just whatever. Whatever you want to do, I'll just have my hands open ready to catch whatever you want to do. You got to pray with power, but you got to pray with purpose too.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't realize that this type of praying, this type of thought process, this type of interaction with God requires that you got to break through some stuff. You're not just praying to be in a space. You are literally praying to break through some things. Like, I can't just get to what God promised me without recognizing there's some stuff in the way. Okay, so this means, what does that mean? That means that the idea of name it and claim it ain't really true. Not completely, because you still got to go through something. You got to deal with something. Anybody that just said, well, I'm just going to call it and it's just going to come. No. You can do that all day long, but there's going to be something waiting on you. There is an opposition somewhere keeping you from what God has promised you. It ain't that simple, because I promise you, if it was that simple, I would already have a jet in a hangar, gassed up on a regular, be like, okay, is it, are they not? Let me say it right. I'm gonna be good. I could be like one of the all-time great professional wrestlers, Ric Flair. He hasn't lied. He used to say he was a limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheel and dealing, diamond ring wearing, son of a gun. And he had a hard time holding his alligators down. If it was that simple, you could have all the stuff. You could have people put in their place on a regular basis. If it was that easy, anything you asked for, good, bad, indifferent, you would already have it. And if you're honest, aren't you glad that some of the things you asked for you didn't get? But the things that we ask for, if we're on target, there's still something that's going to stand in the way. Breakthrough prayer is about breaking through boundaries and barriers that are in the way of God's already predetermined yes. Because God knows all things. God knew that Hannah would show up. God knew that eventually Hannah would show up and ask exactly for what she was asking for. If God didn't know, then God is not omnipotent, omniscient, or anything else. God knew, but it was just what? A matter of time. So she comes, she prays. Eli accuses her of being drunk. She's like, nah. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. I ain't drunk. I'm desperate. I need God to do for me what I can't do for myself. And after Eli got his life, he said, the Lord's going to show up. Go in peace. Breakthrough prayer is something that deals with some certain areas of your life that have to be broken through. And there are four of them. And I'm finished. First area of life that has to be broken through is your own personal evaluation. It's your own personal evaluation. One of the things I tell people all the time, I don't need people to be critical of me. I'm more critical of myself than anybody else could ever be. That's why after a while I tune out people's criticism. Because I'm always undergoing a self-evaluation. Am I doing all that I can to obtain and do all that God has purposed me to do? That is literally what goes on in my head constantly. Am I doing enough? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? Am I the reason? Here's one. Am I the reason why I'm not already blessed like I think I should be? When you pray, don't begin with other folk. Start with yourself. Everybody praying and burning sage and don't realize the bad spirit that's messing you up is you. It's real. Hannah was going through saying, is it me? I got this thing going on. Is it me? Is it me? God, I need you to show up and handle things with me. Remember, she's been told by the other wife, you must not be much of a woman. You can't do nothing. She's been told all these other, so she's dealing with herself. Church, ain't nothing wrong with examining yourself. Because if you pray and you're not praying about real stuff, then you might be what? Praying on a situation. You might be praying about a situation, but you're not addressing what needs to be addressed. Sometimes the prayer is not, Lord, bless me. It may be, Lord, prepare me to receive the blessing. Maybe it's not, Lord, fix everybody else. Maybe it is, Lord, fix me. Because I can't change nobody else, but Lord, I can deal with me. You got it. You go through personal evaluation. So once you break through that part, you get to the next thing. You got to break through outside perception. Outside perception. The rival wife basically looked at Hannah as being less than because she could not conceive. Eli looked at Hannah like she was drunk because of how she prayed. I don't hear nothing, so you must not be praying. You must be doing something else. Church, we're guilty. And guess what? Here's a spoiler alert. In 2020, when it comes to things like this through the Word of God, I don't care about your feelings. I'm going to tell the truth. Church, we're guilty of looking on folk as if they're not doing what we would want them to do when they're trying to petition God. They don't do it like us. They don't come to the altar like us. Well, while I'm here, let's go all the way here. They don't look like us. They don't act like us. They don't function like us. Well, maybe that's a good thing. Because maybe it's a reminder about how to be desperate for God. I think that people get scared when they see folk come and don't do church like we do. Because it's a constant reminder you didn't come to God like you thought you did. Spoiler. Everybody in here got a different story about their salvation. Bigger spoiler. Everybody didn't come the same way. Even further spoiler to your life. If I dug deep enough, I would find out how desperate you were for God to show up in situations. You didn't pray no pretty prayer. As a matter of fact, some of y'all in here know your biggest breakthrough didn't come with a word coming out of your mouth. It was tears out of your eyes. And God met you. So why in the world would you even begin to conceive a thought about how others come? Let the Spirit expose you this morning to the fact that maybe because you forgot how deep it was for you, that you forgot what it means to have the sensitivity to know that others have the same desperation for God, and it's not going to come out the same. Matter of fact, it would be nice every once in a while if somebody came up into worship knowing that they needed the God of creation to do a thing in their life. And literally shout from the pew, God, I need you. And everybody stopped and prayed. Oh, you looking at me crazy. Let me look at you crazy. I mean what I'm saying. Because what we're talking about is you can't be consumed with what other folk think. If you really want God to do a thing, you got to forget about the other stuff and get your face and your life and your heart in the presence of the Almighty. Ain't nobody going to be moved by a bunch of flowery words. People want to know, do you know the God you're talking about? That means you got to get in your brain. I can't keep thinking about you when what I need is him.
Thank you.
She prayed, in spite of the perception. The other thing you're trying to break through is barrenness of your purpose. The barrenness of your purpose. She was praying that she would be able to have a son. So let's back up. First, the desire is to have a baby. Then she was specific about the gender of the baby. Okay. And in her dealing with God, she said, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. And in the text, it says that a razor would not ever touch his head, which is representative of what is known as the Nazarite vow. Who else had that vow that we know specifically? Samson. She prayed that her son would be consecrated unto God for specific service. Which means that she was not just praying to get pregnant. She was praying that she would be able to conceive, bear, and give birth to purpose. 2019, some of y'all were looking at yourselves with all the potential in the world to give birth to something, but nothing was conceived. Life hit. Things happen. Struggling through stuff. Going through things. Knowing God has given you every bit of purpose in the world. The potential for purpose. And you looked around, and around you were people that showed themselves to be fertile. Go back in the story. The other wife was fertile. Let me go here. Everything that's fertile doesn't produce quality. So when someone who is fertile brags on their fertility, but not purpose, what they're saying, they're not saying that they have purpose. They're just saying, oh, I can produce. But it doesn't say that the production is quality. So when Hannah goes to God, she's not just praying for a child. She's praying for a male child. And not just praying for a male child, but a male child that in essence would become a priest. That's the giving back. Would, let me make it real plain, would be from birth already set apart as a servant of God in training. And what did she produce? A child named Samuel who would be known not only as priest, but possibly the first prophet in the Bible. When you get with God, God will break the curse of your barrenness by giving you something that has great purpose. Everybody's like, well, why can't I have more and more? No. If you only get one and God gave it to you, realize that what's going to be birthed out of you is going to what? Have all the stuff necessary to produce beyond measure. When God gives it to you, all it takes is one to do what? Many. You don't have to reproduce a lot to get a lot done. All you need is one good shot from God. What is wrapped in your purpose when it's conceived? Your future, your right now, your community, your family. You see how that looks like production to me. One seed produces a tree that produces what? Much fruit. I'd rather have one seed straight from God than fool around with a bunch of seeds that are hit and miss. You're praying to break through the barrenness of your purpose. The last thing you pray to break through are the roadblocks to your future. Now, here it is. Now that I've prayed, now what? Listen to Eli. He says, go home. It's going to be all right. Have you ever got up from prayer, you felt good, but you felt nervous? Because now you have to what? Wait and see. So now you got to wait and see what's going to happen. Yeah, it's going to be all right. Just go in peace. It's going to be all right. But now you got to what? Wait and see. Or do you have to wait and see? Can we wrestle with it for about 2 more minutes and I'm finished? She got up, was told to go home. She went home. She has prayed that she would bear a son, right? In order to bear a son, you must have activity that leads to conception. And the Bible says she and her husband had a good night. Then, after that good night, conception happened. And that conception led to growth, which eventually led to birth. Some of y'all caught it. Let me back it up and try one more time. Listen, when you finally get up from the prayer, you have to have what? Activity that leads to conception. Which means that your faith still has to be active. And eventually, as that thing is active, something has got to hit and cause conception. And when conception happens, there has to be growth in that carrying mode. And from the carrying mode, eventually you reach the moment when you got to what? Push. It's not enough to just pray. You got to start what? Doing some work. And when you do some work, eventually something is going to be conceived. And then you got to do all the stuff necessary to what? Take care of what has been conceived. And as that thing grows in you and comes to the moment when it needs to come on the scene, it becomes important to you that the final thing to get what God has promised you to come forward is push. How many of you got something that has been conceived in you and is growing right now? I want to encourage you. You're already closer than you think because that thing has to grow. Don't worry. In due time, that's what the text says. In due time, you will conceive. In due time, after you have conceived, you will reach the place where God says, now is the moment you have outgrown all this, and now it's time for it to come forth. Thank you, Lord. 2020, there's going to be a whole lot of babies born. If you walk through the process and break through, I believe there's going to be a whole lot of babies born if you walk through the process on the end of it. Don't waste your prayer. Pray with the intent that you want something to come forth. God, I don't know how, don't know what you got up in store, but I'm tired of this condition. Bring me through. I don't care if people think I'm crazy, if I've lost my mind, all that stuff. Just bring me through. Yes, yes, Help me not to think about other stuff that folk got to say, just bring me through. So that when I come forward, I ain't got to brag about it. It'll be evident that something has changed. And help me to focus on it, because when the time comes in due season, it'll come forth and I'll be able to say it was nobody but the Lord.